Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'd just be with us tonight, Lord, as we just delve into your word and find all the hidden meanings, Lord, and different things, different translations. Just speak to us, Lord, about our time and our time that we have when we pray to you, Father, our quiet time, and then the rest of the Bible study that you have for us, Lord, that you just speak through us, just speak to us in a mighty way, that our hearts would be open, that we would not have the distractions of everything that's going on in the world and outside, Lord, as we look into your word. And we just thank you for what you're going to do, and just let the Holy Spirit speak to us in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish tonight on our quiet time. And most of you have a quiet time where you, when I say a quiet time, we're talking about our prayer time that we spend with the Lord. Some folks do it in the morning. Some folks do it at night. Some folks do it all day long as a continual state of prayer. But has anyone ever thought of keeping a journal when you're in your prayer life? You know what a journal does for you, right? It allows you when you're praying for something, you write it down and you document it, and saying, you know, on this date, you know, I prayed for da 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 in my life, or prayed for someone else that was going through a hard time, and then you go back and you look back, say 6 months later, and see how God has answered your prayers. It's a powerful thing. I write down a lot of my prayer requests. I just write them down. I don't have to date them. Do it in a particular month. I keep it in my daily planner, so I just write it out, and I can go back and see where God has answered prayer. It's a powerful tool to use, not only when you're spending time with the Lord, but it gives you an idea of all the times He's answered your prayer that you didn't even know about it. You didn't know if it right afterwards if it got answered or not, or how God handle that situation. And it may be 6 months later, and then you heard about it, and you go back and look, and you go, oh, that's how God took care of that. You know, that's how He answered that prayer. The biggest thing that happens when you spend time in prayer is it changes you when you do it on a regular basis. The more time you spend in prayer, the more it changes you. It just can't help from happen. It just does something to you. It empowers you. It makes you a different person. It just draws you closer to the Lord the more time you spend in prayer with God. But there's it does require a lot of sacrifice. You know, everybody this thing jumps in and out, and I'm not even moving. Everybody can probably go through a second, 30-second prayer, but it's the time when you're actually spending, you know, 30 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour in your prayer time is to where that the more you spend, the more God has an opportunity to change you. But it also takes a lot of sacrifice to do that. Plus, it takes dedication, discipline on yourself to make time to do it. Because who has all the time that they need for everything they want to do? Raise your hand. Nobody? I'm talking about everything you want to do. You have all the time to do it. How many of you don't have enough time to get everything done in one day? I mean, you try to cram as much into one day as you can as you can possibly, and you look at it and you go, there's no way I can get all this done in one day. Why do we do that to ourselves? And we'll have all this stuff on our plate, and someone will call you and say, hey, I need help with something. There goes today. Everything that you were going to do today got put off to tomorrow. So everything you were going to do tomorrow is stacked on what you were supposed to do today. Time is one of the things that, as not only as Christian, but as just people that we deal with, that we have so little of. And if you don't dedicate time for the Lord, a specific time or general amount, a general time, you know, like in the morning or in noontime or at night before you go to bed, you know, if you don't set a time, a general time, a lot of times life gets in the way, don't it? Next thing you know, you've gone to sleep and you didn't have time with the Lord. You just went out again. But I got a couple of questions I want to ask. One of them is, did anybody get, when I'm talking about this, and you don't have to share what it was, but just a general information, did anyone get an answer prayer this week? An answer to your prayers? I did too. I can share mine. It's real short. We moved to the lake. Well, it isn't that short, but I'm going to do it anyway. We moved to the lake, but we didn't move to a lakefront lot. We moved off of the lake so I could have enough land for my horse. And so we didn't really have that lakefront property where we could use and the kids could swim. We always had to go down the street and all this stuff. And it was difficult for us because the kids, they just didn't like it that much. And our grandkids didn't either. And so we started praying. We said, well, we'll just go look and see what a lot looks, you know, what it costs. And after the first one, you know, $98,500, and they went up from there, we're going, whoo, I don't think we're going to be doing that. So we just said, well, we just leave it up to the Lord, prayed about it. This is our situation, Lord. What are we going to do? And I was, this man was mowing his yard, well, his 5 acres next to me, and I was mowing mine last week. He's an elderly guy, and I could see he was really struggling. So I just, when I finished mowing my yard, I just turned my bad boy over there and just started mowing his yard. He didn't even know it. I just started mowing. And we were just sitting there going like this because the grass was way over my head, and he couldn't see me, and I couldn't see him. And we were just mowing all along, but he's sitting there looking. So he kept saying, something's wrong. My lawnmower, one is cut real wide, and there's nothing is there. I mean, it's just clean like carpet. And over here, it's about the width of my lawnmower, and I got bahia grass just all in it. It's just not cutting it. And he was wondering what was going on because he didn't know I was there. It was just looked weird, you know. So finally, as he stopped and he was looking at his lawnmower, he goes, something's wrong. He's lifting the deck, and he goes, why is it mowing good over here and not here? And I pulled up behind him, and he realized what was happening, that it wasn't his mower that was doing it. It was mine. So anyway, we got to talking, and he goes, man, I tell you what, I've got, he said, you have a lakefront lot? And I went, no, I don't. I live right there, you know. And he goes, well, anytime you want to, I never use it. Here's my lakefront lot right in front of your house. Right in front of my house. Just pull right out. Go right in, use it anytime you want to, never uses it, it's got a dock. Some people say, well, that's not really, boy, that was just really nice of that guy. I go, well, that's answered prayer. You know, that was a prayer that was answered for me in a mighty way. I was excited. Lottie was really excited. Our kids are excited, you know. I mean, they don't even know about it. We haven't even shared it with them, so it's just great news for us, but that's just one of many that I've had. But if you think about the prayers that God answered for you, think about this week already, the things that, since that answered prayer, how many things have come up that this week already that you've had to pray for? Things that have already come up financially or in your family. Only God knows, you and the Lord. How do you think God is? Do you believe when you actually sit down and start praying, do you expect an answer from God? How many of us really expect an answer from God? Honest, because I'm telling you, a lot of Christians, especially folks that haven't been Christians very long, there is still doubt. There's a little bit of doubt in their life, and in their mind, they're thinking, you know, he didn't answer that last prayer that I was so worried about. That the one thing, he didn't answer that. Here I am. Is he going to answer this one? The thing is God did answer one way or the other. What are the three things is the answer? Yes, no, and not right now. Wait is not right now. Wait is the same thing is not right now. But yes, no, and not right now. And a lot of times when you are new into the faith or you're young, you don't even have to be new to the faith. You can have been a Christian for 30 years, still have baby faith. You can still not have faith built up in your life for one reason or another. But as you grow, the more you pray and the more you see God do things in your life, the stronger you become, the more excited you get, the bolder you get in your prayers. Because you know that there's nothing that he is not in control of. Nothing he can't handle. Nothing. But it's good to have, like I said, a really good prayer life. It's good to have a quiet time when we can pray. How many of you try to have your quiet time with your family? How's that work out for you? It works? Most times it don't. Because a lot of times if you don't, you can eventually get together, but it's hard to listen to God for responses from Him when someone else is already talking in the room with you. It's very hard to distinguish and hear two voices. I've had people say, well, you know, I don't guess I know that I've ever heard God speak to me. What does he sound like? Do you know what his voice sounds like? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. You know, I know what my brother sounds like when he talks. I know what my sister sounds like. They can be in a crowd of people and I can hear them talking, and usually they're talking loud like me. And I can hear them over. They're probably going to hear this, so I'll be in trouble. But I can hear their voices over everybody else, and that's why I'm the same way. I mean, my voice carries for miles, evidently, okay? But I know their voice. When my dad was alive, when he spoke, I know his voice. I know my mother's voice when she speaks. When you say, I have never heard the Lord's voice, there's a little bit of concern there. Because if you are a believer, and you do have a prayer time and you do speak to God, if you've never heard him speak, it's because you didn't listen. You're having a one-way conversation with God. One way. You do all the talking and none of the listening. Because if you listen and you ask him to talk to you and you get quiet, he will start talking. And believe you me, you'll know there's going to be sometimes there's going to be more than one voice. Who else is going to want to try to talk to you when you're, oh, yeah, Satan. I guarantee you, how many of you know what Satan's voice sounds like? It's whatever it's going against, it's always telling you something to go against God's word, God's plan. Whatever he says to do, he's going to give you the opposite. You know, oh boy, let's see. I don't want to go into the Obama thing. Yeah, that's what you hear when you hear him talk. The devil made me do it. But you think about, you know what his voice sounds like, because you're always hearing his voice. That's the number one thing. You don't really have to even be trying to hear his voice, because he is constantly trying to trip you up. He is constantly trying to slow you down. He's constantly trying to discourage you, to get you in a bad mood, to get you mad, to get you offended. He works. Man, if there was such thing as overtime in spiritual realm, he is a round-the-clock guy. Even when you're sleeping, he's doing it. He's out there all the time. God's voice is quiet. He speaks through your mind, through the Holy Spirit. Believe me, when you hear his voice, you don't sit there and go, oh, was that the devil? Uh-uh. The devil is not going to tell you to go and witness to someone. The devil is not going to tell you to go help someone. The devil is not going to tell you to do anything to further God's kingdom. It's not going to happen. So when you hear these things, if you hear this, well, you're doing this wrong, or all of a sudden you say, you know, Lord, I can't think of one thing I've done wrong today. Not one. I have been so good today. Woo! I'm good. I've been a good boy all day long, you know. But, Lord, if I have, reveal it to me. Oh, look out. Because you listen, all of a sudden, in front of your mind, something that you didn't do that you're supposed to do. Believe me, the devil's not going to do that. That comes from, and it's powerful. And you're going, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, oh, and that one too. Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, and, yeah. Oh, and that one too. Yeah, okay. And before you know it, you've got this long list, and you're going, well, I wasn't such a good guy after all. I was only good in my mind. That's the thing about us. We have short-term memory, don't we? When it comes to sin, we learned over our whole life. The older you get, the better you get at it. The older you get, the better you get at it. You can forget something you've done wrong just that quick. I'm just talking about like that, and you're going, oh, that didn't happen. That situation didn't happen. I'm just not going to think about that. That's not productive to think it negatively. I'm just going to think positive thoughts. Prayer time has a way of putting us back on the path, back on track. because usually by the time the day is over, we're over here and God's here. He hadn't moved, and we're way over here somewhere because of something. It could even be just an attitude that we had in our mind for just a split second. Just a thought. The Bible says if you thought it, you did it. Poor Mike. That's the first thing that came to my mind is Mike and his episode with and here there's a naked woman coming out of the woods with the police right behind her. So, yeah, right there, you're probably going to be spending a lot of time in prayer tonight. Abby said she's going to be praying for him and trying to beat that memory out of his mind. Now, that was a devil's prayer. The devil may have wanted that. I told you, you can always tell. The devil is not going to tell you to do something that is going to line up with God. Always the opposite. But it is important, like I said, to spend time with God. The more time you can spend with Him, the closer you become to Him, and the more He speaks to you. Be sure that you allow yourself enough time to listen. You know, you see on TV these guys married to wives that they do all the talking. And the guy never gets to say a thing. Or the guy does all the talking and the woman never gets to give her opinion, never gets to talk. Believe it or not, that's the way we do God a lot of times. We won't. This is what I want, Lord. This is what I need, Lord. This is what I got to have, Lord. You've got to make a difference. You got to help this person. You got to do this. You got to do that. And we never stop and let Him speak to us and say, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is the person I want you to go help. You'll be sitting there praying sometime, and all of a sudden, a needy person will come into your mind, and it's just, I want you to help them. I told y'all the story about that college kid that was going out and was going to prove whether God really existed and he really answered prayer. Y'all remember that? It was about, he said, I'm going to pray and see if God really does answer prayer. God, if you're really out there and you really answer prayer and you really want people to do things, then speak to me. What did he tell him to do? Go buy a gallon of milk. Kid goes, well, you might know that God would tell me to buy a gallon of milk. Why? That's ridiculous. So he buys a gallon of milk. He says, but I'm going to go buy it. So he buys a gallon of milk. What does he do next? He says, get in your car and drive. So he gets in his car and he goes, oh, you know, I don't have time for this. He drives down the road. He starts getting in this turn here, and then he starts turning in this really, really bad part of town, and it's night time, and he's starting to get scared. He said, stop. Get out and go knock on that door and take that gallon of milk. He said, man, I'm going to get killed. This is ridiculous. He gets out. He just knows I'm supposed to go knock on that door. But, Lord, that man, they're not going to be happy when I knock on that door. They're going to come to the door with a gun. But because I feel like that's what you're telling me to do, he goes and knocks on the door, and that door jerks open. And he says, man, this guy's standing there, you know. And he says, what do you want? I'm just delivering a gallon of milk. And he turns around and rushes back and gets his wife because they had just prayed. They didn't have any milk for their baby. And they just sit down and said, God, would you please help us get some milk for our baby? God answered that prayer. Changed that kid's life. He knew right then, he goes, man, God really does still work in people's life when they do what? Listen. Important to hear from God. It's important to listen. That's all I've got for the quiet time and for prayer before that. It was an important thing we needed to talk about. I think I've still got a little bit. I better not say that. I may have been really talking long. I've still got a little while. We're going to start at the new one on Revelation. Don't be too quick. I didn't say Revelations, the book. I said Revelation. It's different. It's how we relate to God and how we think about God. It starts out in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. How God reveals Himself to us. This is what this is. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And that's it. He uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Because mankind are we're finite. He is infinite. We cannot know or fellowship with Him unless He reveals Himself to us. Have you ever thought about that? God has to reveal Himself to us for us to know Him. He calls us unto salvation. We don't call Him. God always calls us. And He allows through the Holy Spirit to be revealed to people. The revelation of God could easily be a Bible study all its long. And I'm talking about a big one, like a book that we had talked about. We're going to focus on our attention on the Bible, though. God's holy word is one of the most significant ways that He chooses to reveal Himself and to talk to us. That's why when you're in your how many of you read Scripture in your prayer time? Oh, see, that's a little different. I thought we were just supposed to pray. We got to read the Bible too. A lot of times when you're praying, it was so, I was telling the elders, we were talking about this thing about gay marriage and how it's all come down this week. And I didn't realize it, but when I just read through the Bible. I was just reading through, and I just got through Acts, and I didn't even realize that I had gotten to Romans. I was already in Romans before I just kept reading. I used my, huh? Oh, yeah, it does, in the first chapter of Romans. And it talked about the very thing that was going on in America in chapter 1. And it did something to me as far as it, not only did it encourage me, but it was something I talked to Claudia about, is that even though this is going on, we have to be careful not to judge. Because when we judge people, to judge us. Got on me a little bit. I even told Claudia, I said, come here, listen to this, you know. And it doesn't mean that we have to accept it or that we have to believe it's true, but it talked about all these things that God was watching in these people. It said that God abandoned them because the women had turned against their natural way to have sex, instead indulged in it with each other. And the men, instead of having normal relationships with women, it was talking about the men, in the shameful things that they did. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. And it just kept going on to what that depravity of homosexuality causes other things in their life. Everything from every kind of wickedness to sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip, backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents, and they refuse to understand, break promises, and are heartless and have no mercy. And all that, and it goes down, and it says, they know God's justice requires those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. And then that's when chapter 2 comes in, and it says for us not to judge them. You may think you can condemn such a person, but you are just as bad. You have no excuse. And it goes on talking about sin in your own life. And to be careful when you judge, because it causes God's judgment on you when you condemn someone else. And we can say the behavior is wrong. We can stand up for what we believe. But we still have to love them, because God still does love them too. But God reveals himself through his word. Just like that right there, God spoke to me to be careful how I choose my words and how I talk about it, that situation that's going on. But we're going to focus, like I said, on the Bible, and we'll begin the study with some basic facts about the Bible. The book we call the Bible is actually composed of 66 individual books. These books are divided in the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament contains 39 books, and the New Testament contains the remaining 27 books of the Bible. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, 929 are in the Old Testament, and 260 are in the New Testament. Who can list all of the books of the Bible? By memory. Not many. I can't do it. There's books in there. One of the questions says, list them. Sit down and list how many you think you know. And by memory, just write them down. And then think about if there's any of them that you'd never heard of before. You know, there might be a book in the Bible that you'd never heard before, and you go, I didn't know that was in there. Did that ever happen to y'all? I'm the only one. Okay. Well, that's happened to me before. Not lately, but it has happened to me. I thought, man, I didn't know that book. Where did that book come from? Did they add that one when I got this new Bible, you know? And I go back, no, it was in the other Bible too. You know, some of these figures are debatable. Not those, but this that I'm fixing to give you are debatable. Most people believe that the Bible was written over a 1,500-year time span. And that's what a lot believe. Some 40 individual writers compose the individual books that make up the official canon we have today, the Bible. God used people from all kinds of walks of life. You just think about how many different types of people. They were anywhere from philosophers to kings to peasants to fishermen, statesmen, poets, scholars, slaves, doctors. You name it. God used them. You know, and some of the books of the Bible were written from within the walls of lavish, you know, palaces. Some were out of the cell in a prison or a dungeon. Other books were penned in the wilderness. And still others were on the road during missionary journeys, like Paul. You know, Paul was big right when he was on his missionary trips. He would send letters a lot of times ahead to talk to a particular group, a particular town of believers. Some were written in times of war, others in times of peace. The diversity and creativity of our God can clearly be seen in the way He chose to reveal Himself to humanity by using so many different kinds of people to write the Bible from every walk of life. Different backgrounds. They were raised differently. He used everybody. But it causes a lot of folks to, in this world, including agnostics and atheists, to say, that many people are led to ask, can we trust the Bible, though? I mean, can we really trust it with all those different kinds of people, Can we trust God's word that it's accurate? Is it trustworthy? How many of you believe that the Bible is trustworthy, that it's accurate? Any believe that it's not? You can be honest. None. Today in this modern world, that's one of the things they say, it's old-fashioned. It doesn't really relate to today. You just read what I read in Romans, and it sounded like it was talking about Houston, Texas last week. What's going on in our world today that we're facing? Things that Christians were. I said Sunday that we were coming. I felt like that God was letting me know that we're coming into a time to where that in the not very far off distance, it could be possible that we could lose our ability to say that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, the only way to eternal life. But for fear it offends a Muslim or some other ethnic group. Just by saying that's the only way to God, that we are so narrow-minded. Just think about the early Christians, how they felt when they said that. And the Jews were going, what? Jesus? Wait a minute. What about the sacrifices? What about the temple? What about all this? Oh, that's, you don't need that anymore. As far as you Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests, we don't need you either anymore. Woo! They killed them. They tried to kill him. They did. They killed Stephen for it. And they tried, and they killed several others. Crucified him. They crucified Jesus for saying what he said, that I am the only way to the Father. The biblical accounts that we have, it says here that one of the questions they have, like in 2 Chronicles 4:2, it talks about, it's a kind of like a formula. He made the sea of cast metal, circular in shape, measuring 10 cubits from rim to rim with 5 cubits high. It took a line of 30 cubits to measure around it. And we call a circle today what? Pi. The formula of pi. So they're saying, well, that proves right there that the Bible's wrong, that it's inaccurate. Well, this is not a book of formulas. This is a spiritual book. And this is what we have to focus on. It's a book of spiritual things that reveal spiritual things to us, words from God to where He can speak to us. But when it comes to complex mathematical equations, he says here, you might be able to reach into the pages of God's Word and find some issues with accuracy with that. However, when it comes to fully being reliable and trustworthy in all matters between the Creator and us as humans, you'll not find one error, one problem with the Bible. Let's look at the specific ways in which we should be experiencing the Word of God to gain the full power of God's revelation to us. Like I said, has anyone ever approached you and said that statement to you that the Bible wasn't trustworthy? You have? online. Well, I've had them say it to my face. Oh, you have to. Mormons, that's right. Mormons will tell you right off the bat, you know, that the Bible is accurate. Anybody else? Yeah. You know, we've in the past few weeks we've talked about prayer and how important it is. Our quiet time. We learned that many of us fail to hear God's voice because we don't listen. We don't stop and we don't listen. While this is often the root of the problem, there's another major issue that many of us face when it comes to hearing from the Spirit of God. And I said it a while ago, we don't know what God sounds like, or we don't know His voice. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I'm a Christian, and because I go to church, and I'm real faithful to go to church, and I'm every time the doors are open, I'm there. And I've had to ask them the question, well, do you know for sure if you were to die, go to bed tonight, and you were to die, that you would go to heaven? They go, oh, man, yeah. Oh, you bet. Man, I know for sure. Why? I go, well, tell me why. What do you base that on? Oh, because, you know, I read my Bible and I go to church. And, you know, I watch my language. I don't cuss like I used to. And I'm just a better person. I'm good. You know, I just lead a good life. Nothing about a salvation experience, and nothing about Jesus, nothing about the sin, and they wonder why they've never heard God's voice. They wonder why in their prayer time that they don't hear from God. It's because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They've never asked Him to save them, to come into their heart. They didn't believe that, you know, that He was the Son of God and He was raised from the dead. All these things you have to do to become a Christian, they never did. And they just, it's kind of like saying, you know, you go into, just because you walk into a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you act like a Christian, you look like a Christian, you talk like one, doesn't make you a Christian. Because what did God say He would do when you come to heaven with that kind of thought process? When you get to heaven's door, depart from me because I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You're not one of mine. Yeah. But when a person says, I said a while ago, when a person says, I have never heard God speak to me, it always throws up a red flag. God has never answered any of my prayers. I've never heard God speak to me. I get a little bit concerned because I think, well, man, do they really? Are they just having a one-way conversation and they never sit down, you know? And I always ask them, how long have you been a Christian? I mean, if you've only been for 2 weeks, well, you know, I guess that's possible that you hadn't figured out that you have to listen. But, oh, 30 years or 20 years, and you go, oh, man. You know, it's just too busy. Or things are too loud in their prayer time or something that they've never heard for God. They don't know what God's voice sounds like. It always throws up a red flag to me. You know, if we don't stop and listen, we're unlikely to ever be able to hear His small, calm, and still voice. Because he whispers. He doesn't, hey. You're driving down the road and you hear, hey. You know, no, that don't happen, you know. I mean, it just says, I want you to do, he speaks to us through our minds. It does. He uses our mind. He speaks to us through our mind. That's how he works. And also, what affects your mind? Mike. What? Things we see. Things that the eyes are a window to what? Uh-huh. Okay. So things that you see with your eyes. Garbage in, garbage out. Y'all have heard that. But what I'm talking about is we watch so much TV, so many movies, and most of it is not fit to watch as a believer. And we put this stuff in right here. I mean, we watch it, we hear it, we listen to it, we see it. Man, I tell you what, our youth are in trouble big time because you listen to what they're listening to music-wise. I'm talking about the world's kid teenagers. Maybe not your teenager. Well, maybe you don't know what your teenager is listening to or what they're watching when you're not there. But I'm telling you, the majority of the stuff that's out there for teenagers is pure trash. It is. I'm not kidding you. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your minds from this stuff. You really do. If you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to spend time with Him, because why? It changes you. When you see stuff, like what you saw today, you know, that stuff changes you. It can change you. It can be hard for you to think of anything else. I'm telling you. I'm being honest. It can change the way that your heart is no longer pure. No longer pure. God wants to talk to you, but unless you are sinless, He can't have anything to do with you. So you have to confess your sins. So why? So that you can hear from God. Look in John 10:27. Somebody read John 10:27. That's what I said earlier. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and when I call, they come to me. Not all dogs do that, do they? How many of you have a cat that you can call? And that cat just comes to you, and I mean, just says, yes, sir, what do you want? Give me a command and I will do it. It's a mentally impaired cat. Most cats, huh? Oh, well then, okay, there you go. A cat that thinks he's a dog, that I can understand. But a true cat could care less when you do anything unless it has to do with food. You know, it doesn't care, you know. And it sounds crazy, but it is. But even when they hear you call them, it's just like, they're not talking to me. Huh? Moving on. How can you communicate with God if you don't know what His voice sounds like? Listen, you can't. It's impossible. It is impossible to talk to God and hear from God if you don't know what His voice sounds like. It's easy to understand how, you know, Christ's 12 disciples that He had with Him would have been able to know the voice of God because Christ lived with them for 3 years. They walked down. How many roads do you think the apostles walked with Jesus? How many trails did they go down? How many times did they hear Him preach to them and teach them, sat around the campfire at night around with each other and spent time together? They heard Him pray on bunch of occasions. They saw Him do miracles, you know. But what about us, though? I'm asking, how are we supposed to know what the voice of God sounds like if we do not spend time with Him? It's kind of like being married and saying, I'm married, but, you know, I've never spent any time with that woman. You know, what do you mean? Well, you know, she never really left home. We got married, and she just stayed with me. Come on. No relationship. They never, never talks to her. She's never around. You know? We use the Bible. God speaks to us through the Bible. When you use it when you're reading. And there's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to experience God's Word. There's a lot of different ways to read it. There's planned methods of reading. How many of you ever went through those, read the Bible in a year? You know, that's one way to read the Bible. You just, so that way you can say, I've read the whole Bible. I've done it from front to back. That's one way to do it. What's another way? Huh? Audiobooks? Just go. How many of you ever done that? To where you're saying, Lord, I just want You to speak to me. This is my problem, da 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 da. Speak to me. Did it work? The Bible has a lot of things to say. It does. You know, it doesn't really matter the method that you use, whether you say, I'm going to read all of Acts, you know, this month. The best way to really learn Scripture and to learn a book in the Bible is to say, I'm going to read it twice. I'm going to read it over and over. I'm going to just say you pick out some book. Something that doesn't have very many chapters in it, very many at all. And you say, I'm going to read that, all four chapters, and I'm going to read, or whatever it is, all five chapters, and I'm going to read that every day for a month, or every day for 2 months. What do you think that would happen to that scripture? It would put it here and here. It would be in your mind to where that when you need it, you got it. There's been lots of scriptures that I've read that I couldn't tell you what I didn't have them memorized, and I would be talking to someone and that scripture comes to my mind and I say the whole scripture. And I'm going, wow, How'd that happen? I have a photographic memory. It's because I serve a mighty God. And He gave me when I needed it because I had read it. Now, I don't know how many times I read that scripture, but He gave it to me when I needed it. It's powerful. You know, there's, like I said, other people use a general systematic method to reading scripture. They might use a daily Bible, you know, that has daily verses in it. Some kind of Bible reading plan to go from, like I said, from the front to back, like Chris said she did, or one of those daily chronological Bibles that is a great tool, allows you not only to read the Bible in a year, but gain understanding, and it explains a lot of stuff as you're going through it. But, you know, it says that a lot, you can, if you just sit down and read it, you can read, you might read the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation in 90 days. You can read all the books of the law, the prophecies, the epistles of Paul, systematic way, over a period of time. The method that you use doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter how you really read the Bible. As long as you what? Read it. As long as you read it. It's just these different little gimmicks or these little programs, they only all have one purpose in mind, and that's to get you from here to there, to read the Bible. 3 minutes. You know, and like I said, you could read a book like, let's look at Philippians or Timothy or James. These are real short books that you could read in a month. Even a larger book like Acts or one of those, you can break them down, you know, to sections that you could read. But what method do you use to read God's Word? Huh? You have a daily devotion. How many of you just get up and get in your prayer time and you just open the Bible? Open it up and just start reading. Or you pick a book. You say, well, I'm gonna read one time I'm going to read one in the New Testament, and I'm going to pick one in the Old Testament. I'm going to read it next. Then I'll do one in the New Testament, and I'll do one in the Old Testament. It doesn't really matter, does it? As long as you do it. One causes you to read the most. That's the one that you should look at. That's the one that you should spend your time in, is the one that allows you attention and allows you to read God's Word more. Why do you think to read God's Word? Yeah, look in 2:15. It discusses it, why it's important to read the Bible. Somebody read it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. That's because God speaks to us. That's why. Look in 1 Timothy 4:13. What does Paul tell Timothy to do when it talks to the scripture? 1 Timothy 4:13. Somebody read that. The main thing is that if we're not spending time in God's Word. There's been lots of times that I pray that I can't read God's Word when I'm driving down the road. I'll be praying to God constantly sometimes just driving down the road. And can you do that with the radio blaring? No, you can't. Can you do it with somebody in the car with you or the truck with you? It's hard. Is someone else, if they're quiet and they're not saying nothing, you probably could. Or if they're asleep. If me and my wife get in the car to go somewhere, first thing that happens, she goes to sleep. And it's quiet, so I can pray or I can do whatever I feel like I need to do because she's not talking, you know. And, well, I ain't going to say unless she's snoring, but, I mean, she doesn't snore. She doesn't snore. So, but what I'm saying is I need to hurry up because it is over time, and I'm meddling. To end it, there's only certain times when you're in a vehicle, you cannot, the radio can't be blaring, you can't really be in super, super heavy traffic because you've got to, Houston is not a, you better be praying if you're in Houston traffic, don't get me wrong, or if you're in Dallas and Fort Worth traffic, you better be praying, but you're just praying just to something real short, God, help me. Help! Help! Help me not to kill somebody. Help them not to kill me. You're talking about group prayer with your children. You're in a rut. Okay. Well, just to be honest, that happens to a lot of people. They do. They get into a prayer rut. You can call it that. But what it is you're doing all the talking. Seriously, you're doing all the talking. When you get into a situation to where that you're saying the same thing over and over and over and over again and nothing has ever changed, there's something that you need to do different. And that something is you've got to stop and say, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, God. I just want you to speak to me. What do I need to do to hear from you, Lord? Confess your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to reveal to you something that you're doing wrong, something that you've done wrong, something that you said. Maybe it's a smart aleck remark you made to your wife or your husband or to a coworker or something. Who knows? Only God knows. But it's something. Don't ask for anything. Just say, speak to me, Lord. I need to hear from you. And I mean, get by yourself, get quiet. I mean, and just sit there and listen. And just be in a continual, just praising. Let him know how great he is, how wonderful he is. You know, thank him for all the things that he has answered in your life, all the things that he's done. And then just sit there and listen and ask him to speak to you, to reveal himself to you. Believe me, when you ask God to reveal himself to you, that's what this is about. He shows up. He does. He shows up. He shows up in a mighty way. And sometimes it's kind of scary. I was with a group of guys. We were praying. We were in a Baptist church. It was several, I was a deacon at the time, and it was a couple of deacons and the pastor, and we didn't do, it was a prayer time just for us. We were praying for the church. We weren't asking. We were just praying, saying, God, we want you to come to this church and make a difference. What can we do? And we just praying, and we started praying silently. We had all prayed, and we just started listening. And we just kept praising the Lord and talking. And all of a sudden, it got so bright in there that I, even with my eyes shut, it was like some, have you ever had your eyes shut and someone takes a Q-beam flashlight or something like that and shines it in your face? It got so intense in there that it was scary. None of us could speak. We all were seeing it, but it was scaring the the daylights out of all of us. And we didn't talk about it. When we said amen, we just all went home. And we didn't even talk about it. And later on, you know, we're all wondering, hey, what about the other night? Did you see that? Yeah. It was just unbelievable. And it was very warm. It was a warm feeling. I mean, it was just the most unbelievable time I ever had when I was in prayer when I was young. And it was just amazing. But God showed up. I mean, you can't talk after something like that happens. When you have a time with God and He actually shows up, you become speechless. You stop asking for stuff. I mean, I'm not kidding you. You're just in the moment, listening as He's talking. Okay. Any other questions before we go? Any other comments? Anybody else experienced anything like that where God just showed up? Mike, won't you lead us in prayer, partner? Close us out.